The kingship represents the supreme majesty of the law, the organized control of human behavior, and the wise guidance based upon accumulated experience and ideals, which have fostered the sentiments of communal duty and loyalty. It is an institution of great antiquity. It was in existence at the dawn of history in ancient Egypt and Mesopotamia, and in both areas is found to have been hedged about with divinity. One of the main functions of the monarchy is to provide an image to the public. An image not just of a royal family, but an image of a nation, for a nation, and the rest of humanity. People in England and all over the world identify with the royal family in a way they just don't with other types of celebrity. When Queen Elizabeth died, people talked about it and grieved as if a member of their own family passed away. People were talking about it here in my small Texas town.
We are just moments away from one of the most majestic and historic things that many of us will see in our lifetime.
Here in America, we can't even buy food at the grocery store, our main source of physical energy and nutrition, without seeing the faces of the royal family at almost any given time for any reason, no matter how small. Because they put them all over the tabloids and the magazines at the checkout aisles. Pretty much on a weekly, almost weekly basis, at least monthly. At least monthly, you are seeing them on at least one cover as you're going to buy food. It's as if seeing the royal family of England has been symbolically connected to our energy source here, whether we realize that subconsciously or not. So, even as Americans who aren't supposedly under that system, things stand out when they start to get weird over there. And boy, have they. As the official website for St. Paul's Cathedral in London, which interestingly looks a lot like America's White House in D.C., broke it down, the British monarchy is sacred in that it is the last remaining nation on earth that marks the accession of a new king or queen with a coronation ceremony, the basic format of which has been the same for over 1,000 years. Other European monarchies have either discontinued doing these ceremonies or they never had them to begin with. But as we've mentioned on this channel in previous videos, this coronation is not just the simple crowning of a king or queen. It is a religious service. It sets the monarch apart as anointed by God with symbolic regalia and sacerdotal garb.
The oils and oaths, orbs and scepters, symbol upon symbol, an unfathomable web of arcane mystery and liturgy, blurring so many lines, no clergyman or historian or lawyer could ever untangle any of it.
Sacred oaths are administered. The king is literally anointed with a holy, blessed oil.
During the most sacred of the coronation rituals, the anointing.
A holy communion is taken, and symbolic regalia such as the orb and the scepter are transferred to the new monarch.
We saw it really have to be wedged onto his head there. Amazing moment.
The church and state of England are officially and symbolically bound together in the human personage of the monarch, the power of which is proclaimed as ultimately deriving from God, as the monarch is understood to be God's representative on earth and the fount of his earthly power. The British monarchy thus continues on the foundation of a very old and very powerful ritual system. Whether one chooses to use the word magic here or not, or believe in that or not, is ultimately irrelevant. According to James Frazer's Golden Bough, the kings of old in cultures around the world were not allowed to be seen as ill by their public, or in some cases even to have a blemish, for they believed, quote, the king's life or spirit is so sympathetically bound up with the prosperity of the whole country that if he fell ill or grew senile, the cattle would sicken and cease to multiply, the crops would rot in the fields, and men would perish of widespread disease. In other cultures, the sympathetic nature of the king was so potent that if the king so much as coughed or sneezed, everyone in his presence would have to do the same. And if the king was plagued with any significant illness of any kind, he was either taken out of commission or abdicated immediately for the health of the kingdom, specifically, so that the entire kingdom would not fall prey to it. A reiteration of his status as the image and head of the nation embodying its power and prestige. Thus, in history, we have seen aristocracies go to great lengths to keep monarchical maladies concealed from the public. And the British monarchy is no different in the sympathetic nature shared between the king and the people, or the queen and the people, nor in keeping those maladies hidden. Sure, you can see that today there are tons of modern pop culture references in movies and musicals about Mad King George III and his mental issues. But at the time that he reigned, no one but those closest to him were allowed to know about that or even acknowledge that as it was happening.
Insane!
Let alone let everybody in the country and the world know that was going on. It's as if the public knowledge of the defect of the king as image, as symbol, as embodiment of the life of the nation is detrimental on a symbolic level. The actual malady of his personage is only secondarily so. And only through removal of the defective king or concealment of the defects can the power remain unscathed, unabated, and the supremacy of that image be maintained. And as image makers of an ideal royal family, the nation's people, I mean, the sympathetic nature of that is pretty clear. You see people wearing their hair and clothes the way that royals do, copying them.
They're designed to be on the front pages of newspapers, to be going viral on social media. We love seeing new pictures of the royals, and that extends to what they're wearing as well. And I think in today's climate, we can take inspiration from what they're wearing as well. So if we see the Duchess of Cambridge wearing a Zara dress, we can click and buy it in 2 minutes.
We came across an engraving in a book from the court of King Charles I. Him and his son were kings who quite obviously had some kind of glorious 80s metal hair going on. And almost everyone in his court looks like they're trying to have the same hair, the same mustache, the same look as the king. They're trying to look just like him. People felt so enamored with Princess Diana in the more modern times that stars are known to recreate her looks on purpose. And I even thought this was weird. There's a new book that came out last year that claims that both Meghan Markle and Kate Middleton have been encouraged to participate in what is called Diana cosplay as a, quote, royal staple, which is really, isn't that kind of weird? I mean, that the wives of her sons would want to dress like their husband's mother? Like, what is that about even? I'm just pointing this out to illustrate, though, the nature of the sympathetic power of that image that's put out by the royal family and how that's even still there to this day.
What you can't prepare for is grief. I mean, it still came as a shock to the people of Britain because they saw her just over a week ago.
When Queen Elizabeth, Britain's longest reigning monarch in history, died in September of 2022, 1 million people were estimated to have attended her public funeral procession, producing a 10-mile long at some points queue, resulting in wait times of more than 24 hours to see her. 4 billion people around the world are estimated to have tuned in at some point to watch coverage of her funeral service. So that's half the world, which set a new world record. And it's interesting, too, because during her 1953 coronation, which was also the first coronation ever televised, her reign closely paralleling the age of the dominance of television, that set a record at the time for being the most viewed event in modern human history ever by the most people at one time, thanks to the advent of television. A lot of people at that time didn't even have TV, and they bought one specifically to go watch that coronation. And just like with the coronation, it was the first time TV cameras were allowed at a funeral of a British monarch as well. And this image is very carefully crafted. They have whole plans about if a monarch dies, how is that released to the public, in what order are things done? Like, there's all this stuff down to the smallest little detail. So the image itself is extremely important part of that institution's existence. But something has been happening in these recent months that is telling everybody the world over that a massive shift is coming here, driven by public perception, once again. Because instead of projecting an image of health, or at the very least vitality, or literally not projecting any image at all because they could just not tell anybody anything, the monarchy has gone out of its way now to let everyone all over the world know that the king, God's anointed personage embodying the British state and religious system on earth, has cancer. And not just King Charles, but his daughter-in-law, the Princess of Wales, also reportedly announcing this at the same time. I mean, you're talking about a family where decades of intense propaganda has propped up what they have tried to promote as an almost immaculate image of this family. A whole system is built around it to do just that. Only to now be revealed as not only human and fallible, but decaying and diseased. It was so weird to me the night they announced this that I saw mainstream British media was live streaming an image of the castle with a ticker headline about this cancer announcement. For over 4 straight hours, they just live streamed this image of the castle with this word at the bottom. It's just like what happened after 9/11 when the media just kept showing planes hitting buildings over and over for weeks. They wanted to make sure that image was connected in the mass mind, right? It's that same vibe. They want this word and this symbol to be irrevocably linked now in the minds of everyone. And it cannot be overstated, again, that this is a system that has historically gone out of its way to keep things like this hidden from the public on the superstitions of its superiority. And now they don't just want the public to know this. They have announced it to the world and continue to pump in an almost scheduled feed this media circus of energy of this thing, time dripping it out for months now. And at the same time that this is happening, at the same time this image of monarchy has been now tarnished with this new announcement that they really want everyone to know about, official accounts of the princess are releasing what appear to be doctored photos, and some they've admitted have been doctored to the public, and almost everyone can tell these are not legitimate images right away. I mean, we're in the 21st century now, it is 2024, and most people at least have a basic working knowledge of Photoshop as a thing that exists. So in April, the media was just agog with this image of the queen and her grandchildren that was reportedly Kate's proudest image. But when you zoom in on this image, there's all kinds of weird things that are wrong with this image that any person who looks at this image for longer than a few seconds together are going to be able to tell what's going on. I mean, first of all, you have weird light sources that are only on certain of the children, but not others, but they're supposedly all in the same room. You have this girl sitting next to the queen whose hair is at points disappearing into her dress. The queen's skirt, like there's a seam in this picture, like part of the picture has been moved upwards. There's just a line through the picture. Pieces of hair on some of these children that are like clone stamped next to each other. So there's multiple of the same chunk of hair. And this, it's just all kinds of weird little things that don't make sense. The more you look at this image, the less sense it begins to make, especially if you have any photographic knowledge whatsoever. And it wasn't just in April that this happened. It was also in May, because the following month, the Prince and Princess of Wales official account on Twitter put out this image for Mother's Day, which, again, if you look at it for 2 seconds, you're like, oh, it's cute. It's a picture of Kate and her children. But the more you zoom in on this image, you suddenly realize there's all kinds of weirdness that doesn't make any sense. Anybody with any photographic knowledge, once again, can point these things out. Field depth issues where her hands, you know, both of these hands are supposed to be Kate's hands, but one of them is incredibly blurry while the other one is incredibly in focus, but it's at the same distance from the camera. You zoom in on this little girl's knee, for example, and it's all blurred out in some weird way, like it's been cut. The little boy's jumper, the patterns on it are messed up almost in like a way that an AI would do, not in a way that taking a picture would even be, or photoshopping a picture would even be, but it almost looks like AI jacked up the pattern on this sweater here. And there's all kinds of stuff like this. You could continue to do this all day with this picture. It has even more weird stuff in it than the other picture. And people started calling out, like, why is the monarchy releasing a picture that makes no sense? And then they had to admit, well, Kate Middleton apologizes for confusion over this photo. I do occasionally experiment with editing. And there was this whole story that was released about how the palace took 13 hours to explain Kate Middleton's edited photo, but they still didn't really explain it because everyone's like, well, okay, then just release the original picture and you'll clear up all the confusion right away, which of course they never did. But you even have like unprecedented acknowledgement of this coming out of the Associated Press, where they talk about how they had to retract this picture from publication because it was manipulated. And of course, fueling more conjecture. It's like they want to fuel conjecture and conspiracy theories, because why would a family who goes out of their way to produce this perfect, perfected image to the public and literally has a team of people around them to do that allow weirdly doctored photos? I mean, as a person who's been using Photoshop since the late 90s, some of these quote unquote edits that are you're finding in these weird doctored photos they're releasing to the public are not edits any person would make. They're not a thing you would do. There's no reason you would clone stamp, you know, your son's jumper in a picture you just want to share for Mother's Day so that the pattern's all jacked up. It doesn't make sense as an edit. There's also video that was put out through the BBC of Kate announcing her health situation, and there's all kinds of weirdness going on with that video as well. One of the things that I just can't get over when I'm watching it is the slats, the number of slats that you see on the right side of her body versus the left side of her body. That kind of thing would work that way if the bench was tilted at an angle where it's going away from you a lot more, then maybe you would see something like that. But you're not going to see that when she's sitting on a bench that's mostly horizontal in the image. It's almost like there are way less slats on one side of her body than the other in a way that looks like an optical illusion that makes no sense for how far away the bench is from the camera. And it just doesn't make sense. It's a lot of this kind of stuff that's going on. The images that are being put out to the public don't make sense. And now suddenly they're announcing, well, Kate might not be officially seen in public again for the rest of the year. They're saying she may never come back to her royal role. She's canceled all of her public appearances for the rest of 2024, and that she may never come back, which again is just fueling more of this, because you're having these announcements happen at the same time or slightly after these pictures that are being released that everyone who looks at them for more than 2 seconds can tell something's not right. And then on top of that,
a number of military horses got loose and ran through the city. Just a heads up, some of the images here may be upsetting.
If it wasn't so dangerous, it would be strangely beautiful.
You have these really bizarre but highly symbolic moments that are happening, like this moment where they claimed a bunch of highly trained horses from the Household Cavalry Mounted Regiment, which are specifically horses that are trained to be part of the ceremonial face of the monarchy. They conduct mounted state and public duties in London, but they also go across the rest of the world doing international events with these horses to represent the monarchy. These are very highly trained horses, but suddenly they claimed that a bunch of these horses just went rogue and escaped and started running around. The media was calling it a rampage through the streets of London, but you had these two horses, a white one and a black one, and the white one's covered in blood, and they're running together down a straight path in the middle of the street, and there just happened to be this guy with a really high-tech, fancy camera setup standing right there to capture this moment, this very dramatic moment of these horses running through the street. People pointed out that it's like the reverse chariot card of the tarot, which is a card that symbolizes overcoming challenges. It symbolizes gaining victory through maintaining control of one's surroundings. Control, obviously, the opposite of what's happening in this event. But this image, people are saying it looks like the opposite. So a blockage that's impeding a goal from being reached, or the quest for a goal going off the rails because it's now out of control, quite like the horses. And at the same time these horses are running down the street, that day Big Ben stopped at 9 o'clock, but it struck 11 times. I mean, these are not things that just happen on accident, right? These are very symbolic things that are like messages that are being put out there from a family that, again, is a very symbolic. Their whole purpose for existing is this image. And to that symbolism, you can add the recently released official portrait of Charles, the first since his coronation as king. It's basically him drenched and washed out in hues of red. He's in the red uniform of the Welsh military guards. He's got his hand on a sword. And he's basically blending into this background of red that many people who look at it, including official reviews of it that they've posted in the media, say reminds them instantly of blood. And I've seen that over and over. It's so much red, it's like he's disappearing into a sea of it. And he has this monarch butterfly at his shoulder. I mean, the butterfly being obviously a symbol of the psyche, a symbol of rebirth. And it's not like they didn't know that people would see this and think blood. I mean, this is pretty obvious, basic. What do you think of when you see a ton of red? In alchemy, the rubedo, or red stage, is the final stage of the four stages before the magnum opus, or great work, is achieved. And there is a rebirth idea here. If we are looking at red as blood, then we look at this butterfly here. So if we're talking about succession, if we're talking about death and rebirth of this monarchy, of this system, the question is into what? Right? Because obviously something is changing. Obviously there is a type of symbolic death that is being portrayed here and put out and pumped into the public eye as much as possible. It's as if the system itself has been announced to have cancer. And it no longer holds the widespread legitimacy in the eyes of the public the way that the monarchy once did. I mean, they've done polls. They've been keeping track of British social attitudes and the data since 1983. They've been doing a survey on that from the National Center for Social Research. And it is now, public support for the monarchy has now fallen to a record low in that 40-year time period. So the public has been continually in recent years questioning the continuation of monarchy as a source of power in the modern age of human governments, and especially a hereditary monarchy. And it isn't just a matter of what are the odds the king has cancer at the same time his 42-year-old daughter-in-law, the princess, also has it. Like, it's not just that, or what are the odds that the system itself is going out of its way to project this image of sickness and decay into as many minds as possible the world over, when historically they would have done anything they could to keep that from the public, which would have been incredibly easy to do. You just don't tell anybody, you know. They're surrounded by people who will not talk. They have a whole media apparatus under their control, traditionally considered to be one of the most sophisticated in the world, that surrounds that family and tells the public what they want the public to know, exactly when they want them to know it, and applying high-spin, unfavorable news, going to great lengths to keep people from knowing things they don't want them to know. I mean, back in the day, they hid the mentally handicapped first cousins of the Queen, Nerissa and Catherine Bowes Lyon, by secretly incarcerating them in the Royal Asylum for Mental Defectives. And they left them there out of the public eye for their entire lives. And that only became public record when a scandal broke in the 80s. Many, including the writers of the show The Crown on Netflix, which was about the Queen's life, inferring that it would have looked bad on the bloodline of a hereditary monarch to have such issues in the family.
Their professionally diagnosed idiocy and imbecility would make people question the integrity of the bloodline. Can you imagine the headlines if it were to get out? What people would say. The hereditary principle already hangs by such a precarious thread. Throw in mental illness and it's over.
And those were just the Queen's first cousins that they didn't want people to know about. This is the king himself dedicatedly showing to everyone this announcement and making it as public as possible. I mean, that's how it works, though. It's first and foremost, this is an image-making system. Perception governs the opinions of the monarchy and of governments. Public perception is key to all of these systems.
Can you imagine the headlines if it were to get out?
That's how they work first.
What people would say.
And now that system has turned everything up to 11 to make sure everyone in the world knows that the king and his daughter-in-law are very ill with a deadly illness. A message is being communicated here, and it isn't one in keeping with any of the traditional narratives of that system for the entire history that we have known about it. And we already know, it's well documented that King Charles has other aspirations for modernizing the monarchy most of his entire life. Being coronated in 2023 wasn't the only time he was crowned in recent years. He was also crowned with the UN Sustainable Development Goals in 2020 at the World Economic Forum. He was the person who announced the Great Reset at the start of COVID. So perhaps he's looking to be reborn as king of a larger kingdom here.
Days after Charles appeared to get angry when there were too many pens on a desk he was using, urgently telling an aide to get rid of them.
He and his media team are blatantly participating in destroying the traditional images of this system, the way that they have always done it. And as such, the power and roles of that system are looking extremely weak in the public eye. They have record low support. So the question is it a death with a rebirth coming? I mean, that's the symbols that are being put out there. And it's just it's a very strange time we're living in. Everything is changing and it's changing really fast. But the Netflix show, The Crown, had some really pointed moments where it almost felt like the system itself was blatantly explaining to the public why it exists and justifying its existence and what its purpose really is, especially in that last season.
Extravagance or luxury, or a collection of empty Ruritanian titles, but an extraordinary array of precious expertise, skills that have been passed down for generations, often within the same families, and the vehicle for that continuity is the crown.
And just as Queen Elizabeth came into this world as a queen on television, she departed this world not only in the first time that a funeral was televised of a monarch, but a TV show digitally streaming on the internet detailing her entire life as queen and that system's existence under her. And in that very last episode of the very last season of that show, there's a scene where she and Philip are walking around Westminster Abbey. And he says their son Charles and his children are not ready for their roles in this monarchy because they literally don't understand its purpose.
You will continue as queen for as long as you possibly can, for one reason. Because those that come after you are not remotely ready to take over. The good thing is, it's not our problem. The system makes no sense anymore to those outside it, nor to those of us inside it. This is where we will be, you and I. Right under this stone. We'll never hear the screams from inside there.
Philip.
We're a dying breed, you and I.
But it won't matter to Philip and Elizabeth because they'll be sleeping in the sleep of death under the stone of the church, unable to hear the screams as Rome burns.
The good news is that while Rome burns and the temple falls, we will sleep, dearie, sleep.
The spell that we cast and have cast for centuries is our immutability. Tradition is our strength, respect for our forebears, and the preservation of generations of their wisdom and learned experience. Modernity is not always the answer.